Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And hello, and happy Thanksgiving weekend, everyone out there.
Yes, this is the big fat Thanksgiving show, not Halloween.
Yes, a feast, and joining us for our feast.
And we had pie.
We did have pie. Joining us for our feast is our good friend David Metzger from Bullseye.com.
Howdy.
Excellent.
Yes, there you are.
He's not a girl, though. We had a girl last time.
And I will say, I learned an interesting fact about Bullseye.com that I did not know. I've been a reader for a while.
What is that?
It is the second largest men's entertainment website on the internet, behind AskMen.com and above Maxim Online.
Wow.
I was very entertained by that fact.
I didn't even know that.
There you go. See, you...
I learned something today.
Yes, you come to the magical studio in the sky, learning will happen.
And I also have learned that it is blocked at all Panera Bread.
Oh, yeah.
Places.
Oh, it's blocked.
Well...
all over the world.
If you've been there, if you're one of our seven listeners, and you get, what, 70 million visitor or page views.
Page hits, 5 million
yes.
visitors.
We get seven a month.
Seven?
Yes,
million.
Total. No, just seven.
Oh, seven.
Just seven page hits. And even fewer listeners, actually.
Yes. So on this week's show, we are going to get enchanted with Amy Adams and McDreamy. We're also going to attempt to stave off the August rush. And we're going to talk about Hitman and see if we can get covered all in the mist and maybe get scared along the way.
I miss those introductions.
There you go. See, I did that just for you.
I'm happy.
But before we get to all that, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us. You might be listening to us on our website, fatguysatthemovies.com. You also may be listening to us on iTunes if you have gone to the iTunes store and searched Fat Guys at the Movies and gotten our picture. It's a much more safe picture on iTunes than it is on fatguysatthemovies.com.
It's the stuff of nightmares on our website.
On the website, you will get a little bit of Kevin Carr that you never thought you needed.
A little?
Just a little.
There's no such thing as a little bit of Kevin Carr. Let me just put it
exactly. Also, if you would like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, we appreciate all the captions that are coming into our picture contest that also includes a lot more of Kevin Carr than we needed to know. And if you would like to call us, area code 614-388-8735, 388-TREK, for all those out there who enjoy Star Trek.
All right.
Okay, I'm done. I'm going to go now.
All right. Well, we'll see you later, and we're going to hit our first movie, which is Enchanted. This is the latest Disney film that takes a beautiful princess and transports her from the fairy tale world into New York City.
Oh, my.
I was wondering if one of you might direct me to the castle.
Watch it, will you?
Grumpy. Nobody's been very nice to me.
Yeah, well, welcome to New York.
Thank you.
This is how I will rescue you.
I seek a beautiful girl.
I'd like to find one of them too, you know?
I think she may be a real princess.
How does she know?
Don't sing. It's okay. You know, let's just walk.
I have a question for you guys, since you guys actually saw this film.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Does McDreamy sing at all?
No.
Yeah, a little bit.
He does?
Yeah.
What?
It's real.
I just remember in that bit that they played the trailer, you know, how does he know? She's like,
he doesn't sing, I don't dance.
And that's what sticks in my head.
I don't want to spoil anything, but there is just a squanch of McDreamy singing.
All right, now the difficult question, what do we think?
I was stunned, to be honest, because I went into this thinking it looked like a live-action Shrek movie, and Kevin's done a wonderful job documenting my my love for all things Shrek. But I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie. I mean, it wasn't perfect by any means, but I just got swept up in it. I really did.
Yeah, I have to say it was one of these movies that could have gone horribly wrong because the twisted fairy tale has been overdone.
Agreed.
With Hoodwinked and Shrek and El Enchanted and Happily Never After, that dreadful movie. And they actually did a really good job. I think part of it is because Disney knows the genre so well. The studio knows the genre so well. They were just,
this is a Disney flick?
Yeah, and it was zinging on its own stuff.
That's how much I pay attention.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier here.
Thanks.
But they knew their stuff, and it was just done very smartly, and they weren't like making fun of it as much as just sort of presenting it as this was what would really have happened.
Yeah,
you could buy that.
The one thing I was thinking about later was that they had a really slippery slope when it came to putting this movie together, because if they don't poke enough fun at themselves, then they look like they can't take a joke. If they go too far, then they're being disrespectful to the people who have made them the giant empire that they are. So they really had to be careful in walking that fine line between them. And I think they did a really good job of that. And a lot of that, I think, is through the casting.
Oh, it's the acting. Because Amy Adams was adorable.
Phenomenal.
And on a lesser actor, it would have just stunk. Like, if you would have had, like, Elizabeth Shue in there, it would have been just hideous.
Don't get me started on Elizabeth Shue, okay?
Are you going to defend her career?
No, we're not talking about her right now.
Oh, okay, because we talked about her in the Gracie episode.
Well, if you guys are done gushing over this movie, you want to give it some grades here?
Sure.
Some fat guy grades?
I'm going to say it rocked.
Yep. I'm going to say kind of rocks just because I felt like there were some things that they could have done without some bathroom humor, that kind of thing.
You're full of poop.
All right, cool. Well, moving on to the next film, which is based on a video game. It's called Hitman. It stars Timothy Oliphant as Agent 47, if you've ever played the game. So let's hear a clip.
Who are you?
The place I was raised, they didn't give us names. They gave us numbers.
What was your number?
47.
Now, Neil, I want you to hear, give your review, and I'm going to give I'm going to do background music for this. So, do your review, please.
Well, first off, the plot of this film is just an absolute mess. But what do you really expect coming from I can't take you seriously when you're doing that. I can't do this.
I was just about to add a lower voice for that.
But I'll tell you what. Hitman, it was okay. It could have been a lot worse and it could have been a lot better. I thought the story is just... It's a throwaway as far as whoever wrote the screenplay. Just go back to writing bad commercials. But Timothy Oliphant, I thought, was okay as the hitman. He was very socially awkward, which is cool because as a fan of the video game, that's cool. I thought the Russian girl Olga blah 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 Blanco was very hot, but I thought it was too cool for its own good and just ultimately just never drew me in.
Well, let me throw in mine and then I'll let Dave come back. When we come back from break, Dave can take a little more time.
We're running out of time.
But I'll just say that this movie, coming from the pedigree of video games turned into movies, what do you expect? It's not.
At least
hard
it's not an
Uwe
Boll movie.
It could have been a lot worse. Sure, he plays the most conspicuous hitman. He's bald and he's got a barcode on the back of his head. And people are like, he's a ghost. But
stole the words right out of my mouth.
But this is. It was a fun sort of stupid shoot 'em up movie. It was kind of the, like Passenger 57. You'll see it in a couple years on the video store shelf, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that. But it's not going to make anyone remember it in the near future.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're going to continue talking about Hitman as my two co-hosts sing the song. And speaking of our guest co-host today, Dave, what'd you think of Hitman?
I thought it was a mess. I was just laughing, thinking about, you know, who is that that strange-looking bald man with the barcode on the back of his head? Oh, with the rigid... the most rigid posture you've ever seen. Oh, I'm
he
sure
he looked like a video game element. Didn't
I'm
he?
Sure he's
he
nothing. Right, I'm sure he's fine. He's probably just from the military or something.
And it's like, and it is. You're right. It's like seriously, what do you expect there? He's walking through the train station in St. Petersburg, and he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, they're like, where's the hitman? The assassin is a ghost. Where is he? He's the bald guy on the top of the building with a giant gun.
Yes.
There you go.
And exactly. Then just to tie in to make the movie, I guess, a little more contemporary, they insert a jigsaw scene in the middle of it where they've got the guy that plays T-Bag from Prison Break tied into a, you know, chained to a bathtub.
All of a sudden it turns into Saw 5.
Jason Zingale, the other editor from Bullseye, leans over to us and he goes, I want to play a game. And now, it says at the end, live or die, live or die, your choice. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud.
I do want to take issue with one thing Dave said to me after we saw the movie, because we were talking in the lobby. And you have to realize, you got to come from the history of this show. I don't know whether you heard of this, Neil, but he said that he was sort of bothered by how just clumsy they threw in the nude scene of Olga, what's her name? And I'm like,
yeah.
Dude,
she should have been naked through the whole movie.
Her breasts were in there. That's okay with me.
Right. That'll pull it out of the totally sucks.
Well, absolutely,
range,
because you watch the movie and you're like, well, at least I got to see her boobs.
Yeah.
The second I saw her, I'm like, I want to see her naked.
They weren't even that fine a pair. Sorry. Still not good
enough
for me.
I thought they were good.
Fair enough.
I'd give those a totally rocked myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and she was kind of trashy, which is something that we're going to talk like about later in the show in our internet only segment. Shameless plug. But let's give it some grades
no,
here.
It's a tease.
Yes. We will start with Dave.
sucks.
Kev?
I'm going to have to say kind of rocks, but you have to know what you're getting into.
Okay, I'm going to say kind of sucks because I'm not allowed to agree with Kevin Carr. Also, I say kind of because I can at least dig some of the violence. At least they didn't go PG-13 is all I have to say.
Good for them.
So moving along, the next film we're going to talk about is a film that's so far away from an R, it's chilling.
Yeah, this is August Rush, about an orphan musical prodigy who searches for his parents with the hopes of bringing the family together with his newfound talents.
I believe in music the way some people believe in fairy tales. What I hear came from my mother and father.
You gotta love music more than you love food, more than life, more than yourself.
Remember Mozart? He was like a musical pod?
Prodigy.
Exactly. Well, I have one of those, and he's living under my bed.
The number one heat wave, August Rush!
Okay, here's my one word review of this. Puke.
I remember when the credits rolled, I remember thinking to myself, you are a heartless, soulless, evil person if you don't like this movie. And
are we all
that didn't really stop
evil?
Me from disliking it anyway.
All of a sudden, we're all heartless, soulless, and evil.
That's the thing. This movie had so much potential. I mean, it really did have a cute story at its core, and it just screwed it up at every opportunity.
Yeah, my problem with the film was, aside from it just being really schmaltzy and cheesy and having way too much, I mean, I know it's a movie about music, but having way too much music in it, it go in these songs with what's-his-name singing and everything. The problem is it just ignored reality to the point of ridiculousness. Like, you
it
know,
was
you
too
got
easy.
People, you know, forging adoption documents. You got this kid who's 11 years old, who's a musical prodigy. He's never seen a guitar. Sure, he was raised in the orphanage, but they never had a nun come in and play piano for them at some point. I mean, it was so ridiculously out there. And then he learns how to compose a symphony in like 30 minutes.
It seems like a week.
Yeah, right. It'd be like if Shakespeare never learned how to write, he couldn't have written his play.
Yeah, and then some trashy Bono-looking homeless guy, played by Robin Williams, comes in and just plucks him out of Juilliard. He's in the school. He's just like, oh, no, I'm his dad. We're going to go.
And they're like, oh, okay, the guy who comes in and threatens the kid, we're going to just let him leave with no documentation whatsoever.
I thought just the story was just too easy. It had a decent cast, and I thought they worked well with what they had, but it really just, I was snoring away. And I agree with you, Dave. It reeked of potential.
There's one other thing I have to mention, and that is the final concert. And actually, this happens twice in the movie. Carrie Russell, with her luscious locks, is up there playing this cello solo with her hair cascading down on the instrument, which is just bound to get caught up in the strings. And I'm just waiting for her to reach for a lower note, and all of a sudden
rip
get
her
hair
off,
stuck,
awesome.
You know, and then all of a sudden screaming bloody murder. There is no way anyone who works in an orchestra like that doesn't have her hair pulled back if it's of a certain length. And I'm just going, okay, I think we're going a little bit too far for the sake of Carrie Russell's hair. Right.
Yeah. Well, we got to get the grades. Quick grades, Neil.
Sucks.
Kind of sucks.
I say sucks, and I repeat my original thesis, puke. Let's move on to the next movie. The last one is The Mist, Frank Darabont's grim adaptation of Stephen King's novella, about a group of people trapped in a grocery store as a mysterious fog filled with monsters engulfs the town.
What's going on?
It's death.
Stop being in the mist! Shut the doors! Shut the doors!
The only way we're going to help ourselves is to seek rescue.
There's nothing out there. Nothing in the mist.
What if you're wrong?
The entire front of this door is plate glass.
How's you gonna let the monsters get me?
Oh, man.
Dave, what'd you think?
I loved this, and I didn't know what to expect because the trailers made it look like a cheap knockoff of The Fog, and not like the original, but the bad remake from a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed this. I liked in particular the fact that they didn't use any music throughout the movie, which made the scenes even creepier.
Very much like The Birds, which is probably what he
similar to No Country for Old Men was like that.
Yes. Yeah, it didn't show up until either the very end or the credits, yeah. I think, for well, No Country for Old Men.
If you've read the novella, it's incredibly close. It's a very well-done adaptation of the novella, and which is Frank Darabont is great at doing. But I agree with Dave. I think it had the total potential to be like Snakes on the Plane. It could have been Bugs in a Grocery Store. But it turned into a much deeper movie. And
you playing that, didn't you?
I did. I've been using that line.
That's uncanned or what?
But I liked it. Well,
you laughed. I completely agree. I absolutely loved it. I thought at the beginning it felt cheesy. It was Tom Jane playing Tom Jane. It was some kind of schmaltzy special effects to steal a word from Kevin Carr. But in the end, it turns into a really good movie, and we're going to talk about the ending later, but that just floored me.
Yeah, and don't forget Marcia Gay Harden.
Yeah, and Marcia Gay Harden was fantastic in it. So I think, in my mind, Frank Darabont, Stephen King, they're 3 for 3. You know, these are the three very,
actually,
very
good
movies. Actually,
4 for 4, you know. Well, he did that. He did a short film adaptation.
Yeah, well, the three big ones. But anyways, quick grades, Kevin.
It rocked.
Rocked.
I'm going to say it rocked as well. We're going to go to a break, and we shall return.
Flowers lonely, burn out slowly like a cigarette. Kiss me.
And welcome back, Fat Guys at the Movies. We are moving you right along, almost to the bottom of the half of the show. I can't say bottom of the half hour because
the bottom of the hour. That's what
is it? The bottom of the hour, yeah. Whatever.
How long have you been in
second half? Anyways, in that second half, we are going to do a list of the 10 hottest trashy chicks in movie history.
I love the trashy chicks.
Yes. We are also going to do our famous, well, soon to be world famous, sound off section where we talk about some news. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Stephen King movie, The Mist. And then, you know, we'll close it up and see what happens and bid Dave adieu and see if you ever want to come back. this is actually, we're moving into the point where we begin to attempt to offend you.
Ah, I see.
Yes.
Because we're no longer
well,
on the radio. At this
Kevin will attempt.
The shirt's
yes.
coming off just in
and,
a couple
And
weeks.
As you oh, mentioned, you, if you're listening to us, if you're hearing us right now, you're listening to us on the internet, which is awesome. If you're not hearing us, you're not hearing us. So there you go.
Go to the internet and listen.
It's
if you're
amazing.
Not
so we're going to talk about box office, a little bit of last week, which was the epic.
Beowulf.
Are you the one they call Beowulf?
Yes. See, now I have two of you. This is
it's
awesome.
It's all an echo.
Where were you last week? That was so fun.
Well, here, let me clean your palate.
Ave Marie, I'm Neil Miller.
Are you done?
I'm going to do the sound of the bullets hitting the ground.
Yeah. Or the fan. I like the slow-mo shot of the fan.
Oh, did you like... And we I cracked like, you up when I just raised my hand. Like, why on earth did they insert that scene in there? And it had no purpose whatsoever.
Cool.
Yes. Xavier Jens, the director of Hitman, obviously has a good future in directing really cool, slow rock videos. Like, what? Slow songs.
Well, he probably already has that history. I haven't looked him up, but that's where they come from the ranks now. They come from rock videos and music videos and commercials.
That right. scene in the restaurant where they're shooting behind... Mm-hmm. Timothy Oliphant, and they were watching him just kind of walk through the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I all of a sudden I had a game controller in my hand, and I was moving him around.
I think
like,
that was the
where's
purpose.
The button where I pull out the gun?
It wasn't completely
where
as
can I
as
make him walk into
doom.
The wall? I want to make him walk
that
into
would,
the wall.
You know, they should start making movies like that where you can just control. It's like pick your own adventure.
Did yeah, you, yeah they're called video games.
thank you.
But they did you see they didn't have a scene in one of them where they go through an apartment and there's somebody actually playing.
Somebody's actually playing the game.
Oh, yeah, that was subtle.
Wait,
yeah.
I wish one person would have said, "Hey, look, it's the guy from the video game with the barcode on the back of his head.
Right.
He must be an assassin." Bang.
Right. Pip pip pip. Dead.
Exactly. Wait, what were we talking about? Oh, box office. Last week, Beowulf. Cleaned house. $27.5 million.
Well, it cleaned the shack. I don't know if I'd call it cleaning the house.
It cleaned the guest house.
Yes, cleaned the attached garage.
Yes,
the carport.
And then rounding out the top five, some likely suspects: B movie, American Gangster, Fred Claus, and then Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium.
And the really cool thing is No Country for Old Men beat out
that
Lions for
actually
Lambs.
Was something I wanted to
in
say
in like 150
wait, not Lions for Lambs but beat out Magorium or,
it,
well,
it beat out Lions, no, for, Lambs, Lions for Lambs it beat out Love in the Time of Cholera
and almost outgrossed Magorium right
mm-hmm. in, yeah
it was, in
yeah,
a it was, third as many theaters didn't it have like yeah. some insane per screen average
yeah it was $3 million in 148 theaters. It was averaging $20,781 per theater. The next closest film was Beowulf. At $8,700.
Yeah, well, you're right, Neil, that is getting old already.
Yeah, see?
But I have
yeah.
to do
I'm
it.
Telling
it's
you.
World, it's a trigger.
You should have been here last week. I was ready to hit him.
I believe it.
That's why I sit far away.
So Speaking of some new releases, because that's what we were talking about.
Well, the big news about Beowulf was that it made so much money in the 3D.
It did.
Wasn't it like 40% of its box office came from 3D theaters?
I don't know, but
something like that.
And I kept telling people this is my recommendation.
Facts, but I just guess.
Yeah, but like 85%.
You say it loud enough. That
I just
true.
Randomly pull out facts. You know, like 87% of the people who saw Beowulf likes my rendition of Angelo.
Here's why your completely made up fact would make sense. Because if you're going to see Beowulf, you might as well see it in 3D, because that's all there is to it. It's just the novelty of it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a kind of crappy CG movie
with an Austin Powers sequence in the middle.
Yes, exactly. And a disappointingly naked Angelina Jolie. I mean, I've never been so disappointed in a nude scene.
I was not. I will say.
So, but moving on.
I was into her nude body.
I actually thought it was pretty cool.
I wanted to reach out and grab
it. It was anticlimactic for me.
Abracadabra.
Anyways, so the widest releasing film this week has no nude scenes. I would imagine, Enchanted.
Except for the big frontal nudity scene with Dr. McDreamy coming out of the shower.
I did have Amy Adams coming out of the
almost
shower
nude.
With the birds
really?
Wrapping the, you know, yeah. Yeah, the pigeons nice. Wrapping the towel around her.
Those pigeons, they are wily little bastards.
Yes. The pigeon was responsible for my favorite part in the movie, but I will not
yeah,
tell
we
you
cannot.
What
no, no.
You have
we
to
absolutely
watch it.
Cannot bring it away.
Fair enough. But it is opening in 3,700 theaters, which we were commenting before the show that is huge.
It's going to donkey punch the box office.
You did not just say that.
That's totally what's going to happen, man.
Oh, sweet mercy. You had that one queued up too, didn't you?
No.
You were waiting all night to say that.
No, no, no. I had to come up with a better response than what I said off the air, which right. Even I would say and repeat on record.
Oh, God.
Oh, it is. It's gonna be. We're talking like $50-60 million. I mean, this could be crazy.
I know Donkey Punch is technically cleaner, but that's actually far worse than what you said off the air. Oh, mercy. You know, I was gonna download this and send it to my stepmother. She
not
can't.
Anymore.
She doesn't have high speed internet.
Would you?
Have
would you
her
like me
to the show? And I was like, oh, I'll just download the podcast from iTunes. And
you
burn
could listen
it
to
a
KGAB
disc.
Online and get the clean version.
Yeah,
when
she
can on Saturday.
Mercy. I might have to cut this segment out before I send it on to her.
She'll be like, what's
anyways,
mercy.
What's space docking? For the answer to that,
check,
listen
please.
To our other podcast,
ecast.com,
episode number six.
Other films releasing this week. The Mist at 2,500 theaters, Hitman 2,300, August Rush 2,200 plus. I don't even know what that means.
That's going to be creamed. I'm betting
and
that August Rush is
Kevin,
like number five.
Honestly, I don't
one.
Know. I really do think that a lot of people are going to, I mean, the screening that we saw, the people were all walking out going, oh, wow, wasn't that really good?
They
and then there were all of us walking out going, oh, I'm so angry. I mean, it was just, you know, there were like four of us who hated it. And everyone else was just like skipping out of the theater. They were so happy.
That's because it was a free movie. People do
yes.
that all the time. I see that all
that's
the time.
That's a good point.
I see some of the worst movies that are packed and people love it.
Well, people just like it because they're free.
Yeah, they're like,
I mean,
it's great.
I was like that at first. You used to see like the first 20 reviews I ever wrote as a film critic were all like A+.
You're like, Battlefield
like,
Earth,
yes,
awesome
movie.
I only had to pay for popcorn.
But speaking of skipping, you mentioned skipping. Kevin is going to be skipping to This Christmas, the latest, what is the word you describe it? Urban?
Urban. Dude, I used to work at a predominantly black paper, and that's how they phrased everything. Urban.
Okay.
That's my defense
so
of the term
urban. It's an urban Christmas comedy.
Yeah. But it's not by Tyler Perry. It's by the guy
God.
Who did Crossover.
Crossover?
Crossover.
Like
the bike movie, right?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball.
Basketball.
What am I thinking?
Streetball
I'm
movie?
Thinking of motocross. That was
it's like You Got Served meets... He Got Game?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to do well. I really don't know, because the guy doesn't have the following that Tyler Perry does. I mean, the guy's like, you know, people are like, who? You know, but if you were to throw Tyler Perry's name in front of it, you get people interested because people dig Tyler Perry,
yeah.
But I don't know anything about this guy.
He put out a movie called Tyler Perry's Donkey Punch, and people would go to see it.
I'd go see it.
They'd bring the kids.
Kevin would actually give that the highest grade of all the Tyler Perry movies, just for the title. He'd be like, title alone, A+.
No,
so
I think,
code totally rocks.
I think actually The Mist, while The Mist is a really good movie, I think it's going to suffer. The fact it's R-rated and it's a grim, grim horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
On Thanksgiving week.
There is none
right.
more bleak.
But it does have Thomas Jane.
And this just isn't a good time of
what?
The year for this kind of movie.
No, I mean, if this came out, this movie would have been better served if it had come out like the week before Saw, or like dropped somewhere in Halloween.
Or if it would have come out instead of Saw.
No, Saw would have cleaned up that. No one wanted to go against Saw, but you had Saw in 30 Days a Night. You could have had The Mist come out as another horror movie. Yeah, I think there was total room for it in October.
You're right.
All right. So, Kevin, give us your top 10.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to say top 10, but I think...
Or at least your top 5. What do you think?
Enchantin's going to be number 1.
By a mile.
Yeah, by like, a million. Then it's, I would guess after that, probably The Mist.
Okay.
But then I think you're going to see... you're probably going to see B-movie still sticking in there at like number 3. You'll probably see then you'll have maybe
Gangster.
Like American Gangster, then maybe you might have I think Hitman and August Rush are going to be way down at the bottom.
In the bottom 5, you think?
Yeah. I think it's going to be really tough to crack 5 because you're still going to have people coming to see Beowulf too.
Right. I think you watch this Christmas crack the top 5. I
just think there's too much.
I've been right about.
I don't
these
think it's going to have wide enough of a release.
Yeah, it's not even 2000.
1700 theater.
It's not even 2000. No, the guy does not have a good track record. Crossover bombed,
right?
Horribly bad. And I just don't think it's getting any buzz whatsoever. The Tyler Perry movies get buzz. This movie doesn't.
Mm-hmm. So. Fair enough.
I'll do a push up next week if I'll do one push up. If this Christmas cracks the top 5. Not because this is no reflection on what I think of the movie. They actually even screened it, but it was like they had so many screenings last week that I couldn't go see it. I had to go see, I don't know what I saw instead. I think I saw August Rush instead. Right. But, you know, I mean, I probably would have liked This Christmas better. But, you know, I mean, they put it out there for critics. So I just don't think it's got enough.
I'm actually going to go on a campaign starting right now to get this into the top 5 this week.
Just to see me do a push-up?
Just to see Kevin do a push-up.
I was like, please tell me you have a YouTube account so we could shoot that.
We're talking about, we're going to get a webcam at
some point. We will make that
So we're
going to
be like Mike and Mike in the morning. You're going to have cameras shooting everything.
The people at KSL cool. in Salt Lake City have requested us to get a webcam. God knows why.
That's
Mormons love us.
Awesome.
I don't know. They're like, oh, fat people. Cool. Whatever. Anyways. On to a break. When we come back, our special top 10 list of the week, the 10 hottest trashy chicks in movie history. We will see you. And welcome back, Fat Guys at the Movies, coming right at you. We are in the bottom of the hour. Stop! The sound of the bullets. We are still making fun of Hitman, even though we are well into our internet-only segment.
That was the fan. Make
your
choice.
We are going to be talking
at
about...
number 47.
The
has no significance.
It
am I annoying you?
I can't do the show. This is not working out well for me. But anyways, inspired by someone from Hitman,
yes,
the lovely Olga Kurylenko.
Olga, whose boobs were totally fine through the whole movie. And tiny little panties, too.
Okay, fair enough. She inspired this list of the 10 hottest trashy chicks in movie history. And if you are a big fan of the show... You are in a small group, a pocket of people that are fans of the show. But you will also know that Kevin Carr is a huge fan of the Trashy Girls.
Yeah. This is the internet-only segment, right?
Yes.
Oh, goody.
Right. Yeah, when we're throwing names out for this, and he was just laughing. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, his name's always coming
She's
up.
Not
like,
trashy enough.
He said
not
Elizabeth
trashy
Banks.
Enough.
She's not trashy. You may have played Trashy Girl once,
you
but these are girls.
It's because I was mistaking her for Amy Smart from Crank.
Oh,
that was
right.
The whole
I can see
I
where you could give Amy Smart a little bit, yeah. But
well, yes. No,
this is how I will define the trashy chicks. These are,
go ahead.
If you watch it.
You are the master.
These are the girls that if you were in a strip club and you got her phone number, it just might be worth the risk.
The risk of the itch?
Yes.
Of having the itch for the rest of your life.
Of the burn.
Of the herpily-herpilies, as Dane Cook would say.
Fair enough, yes.
I'm going to have to kill you.
Got to throw
Dane
in
Cook.
A Dane Cook reference.
Yes!
Don't I? Ka-ching, bingo.
High five.
We are currently at a deficient on the ribbon campaign because we're
behind production.
Well,
we bought
out all the ribbon at the local Walmart, so we need to find another Walmart that carries the same kind of ribbon I've been using.
Wow.
To fulfill all the orders.
So if you're waiting on your Dane Cook ribbon, just we have to just wait until Walmart gets their next truck.
And so. That's not a high. It's not like, you know, the Tickle Me Elmo dolls. They're not dying for those.
Taking Tickle them Me off Elmo the Walmart truck. Do you know what that sounds like?
I can steal them. They're like a $1.49 for a roll of ribbon.
All right, verbal.
All right. So we are going to move right into this. We'll start at number 10. Dave, this is one of yours.
It is, and to date, I've still only seen her in one movie, but I still remember thinking, wow, she was kind of trashy. Debbie Mazar.
Yes.
What was Batman Forever.
Oh, she played.
She was Spice.
Spice?
She was one of Tommy Lee Jones' girlfriends.
Where
was Drew Barrymore?
What was the one where she she played the...
She was in Space Truckers. Did you see Space Truckers?
No. Very but the title alone, I'm in.
Very trashy.
What was
very
the one where she and the other guy had sex on the money? God, there was a movie where a guy...
God, money's not dirty enough already.
No, all right, well, we're going to move on because...
Debbie Mazar was also in Ugly Betty last season.
I'm going to find that, actually. But we're going to move on to the next one, which is Angelina Jolie. And we're talking Angelina Jolie, not African baby-stealing Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, not
we're
African
talking,
baby-stealing, trying to win an Oscar bait.
We're talking Hackers and Gia and even Gone in 60 Seconds. She was very trashy in that.
Or what'd she win the Oscar for? Girl Interrupted. She was trashy in that. Right. She's got a definitive trashy feel. She's all tatted up. She's strung out like a coke whore. She would be one that you might be like, she'd work for it in a strip club.
Right. Right. And as Dave, you mentioned this off air, she used to wear the
vial of blood.
Vial of blood.
Her That's, neck.
Yeah, like that. That pretty much deal was like, oh, she's not that trashy. Cool. She used to wear a vial of blood around her neck and bang Billy Bob Thornton. Oh, yeah.
Classy.
Oh,
with
yeah,
a K.
She's trashy.
Well, the next one, this is one I thought a lot about this one. This is Rose McGowan because I think she definitely, you know, exemplifies trashy, especially in Planet Terror. And, you know, she used to date Marilyn Manson and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things. It was a toss-up between her and her Charmed co-star, Alyssa Milano, who's very trashy, but she's so beautiful, she sort of transcends out
she's
of the
like
trashy.
She's like sweet trashy.
She's beautiful trashy. She's like the girl.
Beautiful trashy.
Beautiful girl who went ahead and got the tattoos and still works at the strip club.
And she was very trashy in Planet Terror, which was very enjoyable.
I'd be okay with just one leg.
Fair enough. Moving on, number 8. Number seven. I'm sorry.
This one's mine. I suggested this one solely because of the number of times I see your name pop up in the LA gossip rags like Defamer and The Superficial. Asia Argento.
And you couldn't even know, you didn't even know what she's seen her in.
I haven't seen
a
single thing that she's in except for the trailer for, what was it? The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things.
Right, which she also directed.
Yes.
And if you recognize the name,
she's a multifaceted trashy chick.
Yeah, she's the daughter of Dario Argento, who directed plenty of trashy Italian horror movies back in the 70s.
Right.
Did he do the zombie one with the zombie fighting the shark?
No. That was
Sharks
Mario
with
Bava,
freaking
wasn't
laser
it?
Beams?
Wasn't it Mario Bava who did
no
that?
No idea. But she was also in XXX, and she was in Kevin's favorite movie of all time, Marie Antoinette.
Yes, because nothing's trashier than French Revolution people.
Exactly.
They're dirty, at least.
I'm surprised you didn't put Kirsten Dunst on this list.
She's just an idiot. She's not trashy. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh. Watch me push the buttons and watch Kevin go.
She's trashy because she looks like she'd been punched in the mouth and didn't get the dental work done.
Right?
All right.
Let's move on. Number 6.
We're inviting Dave back.
Going into the multicultural pool for this one, Bai Ling. Who was, this was actually...
It's my wife's suggestion.
Yes, Dave's, I like Dave's wife. And I agree. She's very trash. She's always kind of got the punkish hair, and she's a little bit, she might be on a little too many stimulants because she's tiny and sort of a little bit strung out looking at times, but she's hot. She
That's
was
the
in,
essence of any trashy chick, though.
It has to I be. Mean. Drugs are involved in some way. But she was in, most recently, in Lost last season. She played sort of a muse for Jack when he was on some depressed trip to Thailand or something like that.
Awesome. And I've got number 5, but before I do number 5, I want to mention the movie that I was looking for is called Money for Nothing with Debbie Mazar, and she and John Cusack have sex on a pile of money.
Was he wearing a black trench coat and was it raining
he
on him?
He may have been.
Possibly. And break down the fourth wall talking about music.
He did that in the Jackal, didn't he? He turns to the fourth wall, he's like, you know, I really love the Doors.
But our number 5 is the one who inspired this list, Olga Kurylenko from Hitman. The only thing she's really been in otherwise is Paris Je T'aime, which was the independent shorts that had a bunch of famous people in them.
Let me tell you, she can pull off a tattoo on the face. So
wow, yeah, oh, that was the sexiest face tattoo I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, I mean, that just put Michael Tyson's to bed.
I gotta admit, that was pretty cool. Tyson should have reconsidered the little
dragon,
right?
And the fact that she wore those like sort of like that nighty little thin thing.
It's just it looked like a terry cloth.
Yeah, not terry cloth. She's wearing a robe.
No, I'm sorry. She's not a. But
I don't know.
A thing with a thing, whatever.
A thing.
Oh, it was a sheet.
Spaghetti straps.
I've lost it.
She was hot.
I just felt like there was no style to it whatsoever.
There doesn't need to be style.
Thank you, Kevin Carr, for your words of wisdom.
Show me the boobies.
That's right.
Oh, wait. Oh, this is the internet section.
No, you can say boobies.
I can say that. All right,
you have to say breasties, apparently.
Speaking of boobies, the next one's boobies in public.
Terror. Oh, yeah. Boob job gone horribly wrong. This was my last suggestion. Tara Reid.
Which was almost too trashy.
Enough said.
For the list that takes her out of being attractive.
You know what will be really trashy about Tara Reid? Her biopic in like 15 years when they make one about her. That will be the trashiest movie of all time.
And it'll be starring one of the people from this list, probably.
Right. Who looks the most like her on this list?
It'll be number one. That's my...
It'll probably be number one or number two
right. When we get to them. Yes.
But before we get to number one, we have to go to number three, which is Taryn Manning from Hustle and Flow.
Yes.
Fame. She was by far one of the most entertaining hookers I've ever seen.
She would have been worth the risk.
She was a lot of fun in that movie. Really... portrays that airhead trashy girl, like just really dumb, like she's super trashy and she would super do anything you want her to type of girl. But in reality, in real life, she's very, very intelligent. I've seen interviews. So but otherwise, she's
that
got
that doesn't
she's
mean
got
she
that.
Doesn't like to get funky.
I mean, who's the screen queen who's the Brink Stevens is like
who?
Genius.
Who?
Brink Stevens? You know what Brink Stevens is?
No.
She's
You're just on a whole
queen.
Other level
She's sort of like a real genre chick, and she's older now, but she's like got like double major PhDs and speaks four languages, and she basically figured out, she's like, hey, the best way to make money is just to take my clothes off in front of the TV,
right.
In front of the movie camera.
Oh, so thank God, like you don't have that same theory.
I've met her. She's hot.
She's a female Dolph Lundgren then, right?
Is he smart?
He speaks about four or five different languages.
Well, it's because he has to. He was raised in...
Some neutral European
country. Yeah, they change governments every 3 years.
Back to the list.
Enough about the dudes.
In honor of you being the master of all things trashy chicks, Kevin, you get the next two.
I get the top two. These are
mine. We're actually going to leave and come back when you're done.
Number two is Bijou Phillips. And it's funny because I mentioned it to Dave off camera or off mic at one point, and he says, and I said, well, she's most trashy in pretty much... everything she does. I mean, she could play Mother Teresa, and it'd be the trashiest Mother Teresa around.
It'd be like Monica Bellucci playing, what was it?
No, Monica Bellucci's is she's still like, she can make a lactating hooker elegant. Whereas Bijou Phillips could make Mother Teresa look like a lactating hooker. That's the kind of the difference.
God, I love Shoot 'Em Up. And we were just going through Asia Argento's IMDb filmography, and she did have a role that said The Nun.
The Nun.
I want to see that movie.
I want to see the one with Bijou Phillips as The Nun, who then lifts up her skirt. You know, I mean, it'd be one of those movies that you find on Cinemax.
Right.
But number one, my favorite trashiest chick of all time.
With a bullet.
Everybody should be able to predict this one by now.
Jamie Presley. Yes. And it's funny because our producer, Richard, he's like, Jamie Presley? And I go, look, man, can you name a movie she's not trashy in? And he's like, no, she's been in everything.
Right. She only knows how to play trashy.
She's awesome.
She's one dimensional, just the dimension that Kevin
I
Carr
totally fell
digs.
In love with her in Ringmaster. And that's a terrible, terrible movie. But it's
this
a
is actually
Jamie Presley.
She was the whole reason you gave DOA. Like, did you give it like a B plus in your review?
Yeah, I gave it like 3 stars. I mean, it was in a B plus.
He's like, this movie is awesome.
It's like 13-year-old porn. That's
you
what
really
it is.
Really don't have any respect for your time, do you?
Dude, I have to see some real crap. So when you see something that you can at least like lose yourself in the eye candy, at least there's a plus there. It's better than like Jesse James.
It's not even about DOA. I'm talking more about Ringmaster.
Oh, no, I didn't say Ringmaster was good. I liked her in Ringmaster, especially her introductory scene. The rest of the movie was absolute turd buckets, but this one was, but she was good in it.
Yes. Translation, buckets and turds.
I'm not knocking DOA because I have a copy sitting right in front of my TV. Yeah. So.
Right. Fair enough. Honorable mentions. Number one would be Eliza Dushku.
I had to fight Kevin to take her out of the top 10 because, I don't know, I'm a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, and while
I'm with you,
you know, I like Faith, she's harder. Definitely the darker, edgier version of Buffy. I just didn't think she was trashy enough to warrant.
She wasn't
inclusion.
Even that trashy in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
She was trashy enough.
Okay, well, that at least gets her an honorable
mention.
She
wasn't in True Calling either. I mean, she was pretty clean in
that, but
right?
Bring It On, she was real which is again like 13
and
right,
now
13
we're back to Kirsten Dunst
now,
again.
Somehow we're back to Kirsten Dunst.
Well, she was actually okay in that one, and that was then, I guess.
That was the last time I thought she was attractive.
Yeah.
After that,
yeah.
It was pretty much
then
over.
Then she like cut her hair and did movies with Julia Roberts.
Somebody punched her in the face too.
I think she got punched in the face when like around Interview with a Vampire. But
nice.
And, you could believe when she was 11.
Oh, good. Pick on her when she was a child.
She was great. That was her like one. She was probably one of her best movies she ever did. She was great in that movie. It was all downhill from there.
Fair
but
enough.
The other one, and this is sort of dipping into the history, is PJ Souls from the original Halloween and Rock and Roll High School Forever. What?
You missed one.
Did I miss one?
Well, yeah, we talked about Alyssa earlier.
We talked about Alyssa Milano.
We mentioned her in connection with, what was it, Rose?
Rose McGowan. But I'm going to go back to PJ Souls. You know,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
She was the one totally with the baseball cap. She was also in Carrie, the one with the baseball cap.
She wore a baseball cap in every movie?
No, she wore a baseball cap in Carrie, and then she sort of did the pony or the pigtails in Halloween.
Yeah, she had pigtails.
She
had pigtails.
She did the nudity in Halloween.
Rock and Roll High School?
Rock and Roll High School, she was, yeah. She was the one who was like, Johnny Ramone is like the hottest. And I'm like, dude, he is ugly. He is like uglier than Neil.
Thank you.
I mean, the guy, he's great.
Very sweet of you. I can't
think
of it.
Man, Johnny Ramone was
what rock star is uglier than Joey Ramone? I love Joey.
That's
man.
True.
Who's uglier? I mean, the only one I can think of is Shane McGowan from the Pogues. And that's just because, you know, his teeth, as Ron White would joke, are the kinds that you could, you know, you can make keys with.
And on that note,
I think we better move on.
I think we should move on
and get back to the respectable part of the program.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk some more movies. We're going to do the sound off and talk about some topics we shall return. And welcome back once again, Fat Guys at the Movies. We are back on the radio. If you are listening to us on the radio, go to fatguysthemovies.com. We just had two very entertaining internet-only segments.
Yes.
That's all I have to say.
But make sure you look up things in an Urban Dictionary when you hear them. You may want to.
Yeah, you may not understand.
You may not understand everything we say.
Everything. So. I keep That's forgetting that we're on in Wyoming.
Wyoming, yeah.
But it is time for us to sound off on the various topics of the week. So we will start with a little Star Trek. And Winona Ryder has been cast to play Spock's mom.
I thought Winona Ryder was cast to play Spock's mom.
Yeah, Winona?
Winona is the singer. Winona is the shoplifter.
No, that's
fair enough.
They're talking about what's on the board in front of us. That's actually spelled correctly.
That is.
Well, yeah. Winona Judd is
spelled,
the one with the Y and two N's.
Whatever.
This is radio.
Winona Ryder is going to play Spock's mom. Spock is obviously going to be played by Zachary Quinto. How disturbing is this for
it's
you guys?
Just, it's to me, it is just more of the same bad casting for the new Star Trek movie.
I don't get it. I mean, I mean, they've got, who is it, Ben Cross playing?
Ben Cross plays his father.
Who could be Winona's grandfather.
I think Ben Cross can pull off Sarek very well. I think he can do it.
Well, I agree there, but yeah. I mean,
Winona Ryder's like 30.
You couldn't have found anybody.
And she's going to be
Ben
like
Cross's age.
And she like hasn't acted since like Heathers. So she'll be like,
oh, Mr. Deeds. Oh,
Spock, go forth. I mean, she sort of does this Captain Kirk acting anyways. Right, with this,
why couldn't she have gotten like Helen Mirren?
She's going to be naked in the movie?
Yeah, I'll tell you
Helen
what.
Helen Mirren would have been
great,
actually. Yeah.
This just continues to add to what I've been saying all along, ever since the second piece of casting was announced, ever since we found out that Simon Pegg was going to play Scotty. I love some of the actors that are going to be in this movie, but this is going to suck.
Okay. We need a movie.
So, moving along, Tom Cruise, fat suit. Go.
Still won't save his career.
I'm going to run as far away from this as I possibly can.
Yes. Of course, I'm referencing Tom Cruise. There's a picture online of Tom Cruise in a fat suit with some gratuitous chest hair in Ben Stiller's directorial flick, Tropic Thunder?
Of course, if you look at the picture, you see the little man jiggles going on already underneath the fat suit. Does he need the fat suit? That's my question.
Fair enough. Also, the new Cloverfield trailer is out. It is online. We just watched it before the show. What do you guys think?
It's coming out in January, which means it's going up against stuff like College Road Trip with Martin Lawrence and Raven.
Oh,
so it's
mercy.
Going to be the best movie of the month, no matter what. It could be absolutely terrible. It's still going to top out the month.
I was as blown away by that trailer in front of Transformers as everybody else, but now I'm starting to get a strange Blair Witch vibe about this, and I really don't know how
it's
going to turn
out. You didn't get a strange Blair Witch vibe from the trailer in front of Transformers?
Maybe it was short enough that it kept my interest, but this one,
Yeah. I've got a major Blair Witch vibe about this one. I get the feeling that this is going to be a huge disappointment in January, and I'm saying that it's going to be a huge disappointment even for January.
You're even
going
to say, oh, you know, I wish they made great I wish they made good movies like they did last year, like Codename the Cleaner.
We are going to be after. Wishing for that. What?
And Happily Never After.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know if I can go that far.
I think that may have been February.
Yes. My final major topic of the week is that Sienna Miller was cast. She's the first member of the new G.I. Joe cast.
Wasn't George Clooney going to play?
By Steven Sommers. Well, they rumored George Clooney. She's actually the first only confirmed. Is this a good start or good riddance to this film already?
I don't know. Is she going to like take drugs for it? Doesn't she do that for another movie?
For the Andy Warhol movie.
She could have been a trashy chick.
I don't think it makes a difference, honestly. I mean, the idea, I can't relate to this in any way. Although I will say for the record, the idea of casting Clooney would have been ridiculous.
Listen, right. if it's a good if she's naked, it's a good start. If she's not, good riddance.
Okay.
There we go.
So we need some nudity.
Yes, exactly. What you're saying. We always need nudity.
All right.
Speaking of nudity, how Stephen it's done. King.
Yes.
This is Stephen King's quote.
Yes, we're going to talk about Stephen King's quote about the end of The Mist, the changed ending, and we'll start by playing the clip and see what happens.
What we were too kind to say to each other was that the story has. Well, I won't say it's a weak ending exactly, but it was the kind of ending that my late mother didn't respect. She called them Alfred Hitchcock endings, and you were kind of left to make up your own mind. She had nothing but contempt for that. And so Frank came up with an ending to the movie that I thought was terrific on the page. And the only time that I ever wavered, even slightly, was when I actually saw it. And I said to myself, this is so shocking that there ought to be ads in the newspaper that say, if you reveal the last 5 minutes of this movie, you'll be hung by the neck until dead. Because that's the one thing that I hate about the internet age is all this stuff gets out.
Well, here we are in the internet age. I'm going to give away the ending. Here it is. Are you ready?
Oh, jeez.
It was all a dream. That was the ending.
This is an M. Night Shyamalan
No. This is the real ending. Here's the real ending.
Right.
Thomas Jane was really dead the whole time. No. Here's the real ending. The little kid in the movie goes out into the mist and teaches the monsters the true meaning of Christmas.
And he finds Dakota Fanning.
Yeah, there she is. And no. Here it is. This is actually how the movie ends. Thomas Jane puts on a pair of water skis and jumps over the monsters at a beach blanket party with the Happy Days cast.
You've just derailed. There's nothing.
Wait, I'm just haunting really Stephen King because I know he's an avid listener of the show.
Oh, geez. Well, here's what I will say about the ending, and I've been telling people this all week since I saw The Mist. It's one of those endings that it is not a shocker necessarily. You see it coming.
Yeah.
But you're sitting there telling yourself, "There's no way that they're going to end the movie this way."
Right.
You sit there in disbelief and you watch it end and you're like, there is no way that just happened. It is one of those kind of shocks. It's not like,
it's not like, oh my gosh, they taught the monsters the true meaning of Christmas or something like that. It was, to me, it was like, it was too convenient. It was grim, but it was too convenient. I don't think it was timed right. It still felt like a cheat to a degree. But if they would have timed it differently, I think it would have been better.
I didn't think it was a cheat. I don't think I would have made the same decision that they made. I would have done, there's one thing I would have done differently.
You would have kept
that
purple monkey.
Can't
there,
explain. I would have kept the monkey. That is what you said, right? But I tell you what I liked about it. I'm afraid to use an adjective because it'll give it away, but it was just, it's the kind of ending that I didn't think studios had the guts to make anymore.
Well, that's the Weinstein.
I agree.
And that's what I liked about it.
Bigger studios
never would have greenlighted that. I agree. And
with that, we are coming towards our ending. We shall be back to wrap you up shortly.
We'll be hung by the neck.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We're going to talk about the review. Do you have any more Ave Maria for us, Kevin?
I was getting ready to sing, but I didn't know if the bumper music was done playing yet.
All right. So, speaking of Ave Maria, we'll start with Hitman. We'll go around. We'll start with Dave.
Sucked.
Kind of rocked. If you know what you're getting into.
And I said kind of sucks, just for the fact that it had some...
You know what else I say?
Some bare chest. Female
Ave
chest.
Ave Maria.
King.
And next is The Mist. I said it rocked.
I said it rocked too.
Rocked. One of my favorite movies
this
year.
That.
I think you actually said kind of rocked.
That is 100%.
No, I think
did
I'm
you
pretty
sure.
I think
sure.
We
rocks.
All said rock. I don't know. We'll have to go back into the archive footage.
That shows how prepared we are.
Exactly.
We're professionals, people.
Moving along. August Rush. Kevin?
Sucked.
Kind of sucked.
It sucked.
Puke.
I think I was. I'm giving it. I'm moving.
You're giving it the benefit of the doubt
For its potential.
You just don't
right?
want to be
right.
called
it's...
soulless, which I was accused of by Mark Pfeiffer.
I'm not really worried about
completely
that.
Completely soulless. Yeah. And finally, the film that I did not see, but the two of you did, is Enchanted.
Oh, it rocked.
Kind of rocked. Yeah.
Awesome. Great, cool. What are we doing next week there, Kevin?
Do we get all four films?
Yeah.
That's all four, dude. Mm-hmm.
Next week, we have... There's, like, nothing we're going to be reviewing next week. Because the only movie that's opening wide is Awake from the Weinstein Company, starring Jessica Alba, my girlfriend.
I'll go see that.
And Christian Bale getting cut up on an operating table and remembering it, which is actually
really?
A great thing to
Christian
see.
Christian Bale's in this movie?
Not Christian Bale, the Hayden Christensen.
Oh, huge difference.
Wow. So yeah, yeah.
I was almost there.
Yeah,
that's a totally
but you know
different
what?
Sport.
But they're not screening it, so it's going to have to suck. But it's got Jessica Alba in it, and you get to see Hayden Christensen get traumatized on an operating room table, which can't be that bad.
I don't know if I'm cool. that interested. You know, Jessica Alba, as much as I love her and will someday probably be arrested stalking her, okay. I just, her movies are not... that
I'm
interesting. I'm more interested in her in you know on websites like The Superficial.
It's like I like watching Dancing with the Stars, not listening to it or hearing the commentary. I just like
watching. You're
the
there
girls
for Maria
around.
Osmond. I know you are.
No, I'll tell you, Jane Seymour, she's still hot.
Anyways,
she revs my engine.
As we wrap up, here's how you can get a hold of us: fatguysthemovies.com. Go to the iTunes store. You can search Fat Guys the Movies. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. If you'd like to call us, please call us 614-388-8735.
That's 388 Trek since we had a Trek story. Yes.
Dave Metzger, your parting words.
David Metzger.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully you'll have us. You'll have me back.
We definitely will. That's all. You have anything?
No, that's it.
Adios.